Hello and welcome to the NAO podcast. The NAO has conducted a study into whether Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service and NHS England are working effectively to address the mental health needs of offenders in prison. This includes assessing whether those providing the service have a good understanding of the level of need, whether partners are working well together and the system is operating effectively, whether they are meeting their current objectives and how well placed they are to meet the needs in the future. I'm joined by Oliver Lodge, the director who worked on the report. Thank you for joining us, Oliver. So perhaps we could start by looking at how many people in prison have a mental health problem.
Well, that is an excellent place to start. But unfortunately, there's no reliable data on the number of people in prison with mental health problems. Approximately 10% of the prison population in England are receiving treatment for mental health issues. But that's not necessarily a reflection of those who need it. And whilst about a quarter of people coming into prison report some prior contact with mental health services, this doesn't capture those who might develop mental health problems after they arrive in prison. One of the most commonly used estimates that we hear is that 90% of the prison population is mentally unwell. But this uses a very broad definition of mental illness and also dates from 1998, so it's very outdated. So although most research suggests that people in prison are much more likely to suffer mental health problems than those in the community, government doesn't collect enough or good enough data to really understand this.
And who are all the different players involved in providing mental health services in prison?
The principal players are, as you say, Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service, the executive agency of the Ministry of Justice responsible for operating prisons, although at the time of our work it was called the National Offender Management Service. NHS England, which is responsible for commissioning and overseeing health services provided within prisons, and Public Health England, who are responsible for providing support and guidance to NHS England and Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service. And those three bodies have signed up to a partnership agreement, which is currently being updated, that describes a number of ambitious shared objectives in respect to providing mental health services. And these include that prisoners should receive an equivalent health and wellbeing service to that available to the general population, and also that they should expect an improvement in their health and wellbeing whilst in prison. But these objectives are not all well defined, and crucially, none of the three bodies collect the data they need to understand the extent to which they're achieving their objectives.
Are there any challenges in having so many different parties involved?
Yes, inevitably there are challenges in delivering services across organisational boundaries. And one of the issues we saw through our work is that the prison service hadn't always given NHS England enough notice when it made changes to the prison estate, such as changing the nature of the people housed in a particular prison, which of course can affect the health needs of that group and the services that need to be provided. And there are also challenges where people move between healthcare settings. So people who are deemed too unwell to be treated in prison need to be transferred to a secure hospital under the Mental Health Act. The Department of Health recommends that this should take no more than 14 days. But in 2016-17, only 34% of patients met this target. And we heard of one example of someone waiting for more than a year. Clearly, these delays can mean people are kept in unsuitable conditions, which can have a seriously negative impact on their mental health and well-being. And people also do not receive continuity of care once they're released from prison. So community rehabilitation companies and the National Probation Service are responsible for rehabilitating people once they've been released, but they often don't receive relevant health information to allow them to do that. And difficulties can be exacerbated when people are released a long way from their home or at very short notice, making it much harder to establish links with local healthcare services.
What difficulties are specific to the prison environment in looking after people's mental well-being?
Well, it's very challenging. Some of the steps which you or I might take to manage our mental well-being, like connecting with family and friends and being fit and active, are explicitly restricted by the prison environment. And mental well-being can also be adversely affected by crowded conditions. To give you an example, in 2015-16, almost a quarter of the people in prison were in cells that are holding more people than they were originally designed for. But prison is also a difficult environment in which to provide healthcare services. So the majority of the state was built before 1900, and some newer buildings were not designed with modern healthcare in mind. And people will also often move around the prison estate during their sentence, making it much more challenging for them to complete courses of treatment. But on top of those environmental factors, the prison system is also currently under considerable pressure. So between 2009-10 and 2016-17, the number of operational staff working in prisons was reduced by 30%, whilst the prison population remained broadly stable. And this fall in prison officers makes it far more challenging for prison officers to have meaningful contacts with people in prison that might help them notice signs of changes in their mental well-being. The training provided to prison officers to help them detect and manage people with their mental health needs has also been inadequate. Now, the previous government launched an ambitious prison reform agenda, and early signs are that much of this will be continued under the current government. And this potentially provides an opportunity to start to address some of these difficulties. For example, the Prison Estate Transformation Programme aims to replace elements of the ageing estate with more modern buildings. And Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service is also rolling out new training and taking forward initiatives to tackle rising self-harm and self-inflicted death rates in prisons.
How are services performing?
Well, the data we have from the reports of Her Majesty's Chief Inspector of Prisons suggests that the quality of clinical services in prisons is generally good, though there are shortages in primary care and counselling services across the prison estate. But importantly, there are weaknesses in identifying those who need support with their mental health. So, for example, the screening process that everyone goes through when they arrive in prison does not always identify issues, and healthcare staff do not routinely have access to medical records from GPs in the community. The staffing pressures that we just talked about also make it much harder to detect changes in someone's mental health that might develop whilst they're in prison.
And what recommendations does the report make?
Well, firstly, we're clear that to effectively address the mental health needs of people in prison, Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service and NHS England need a much better understanding of the scale of the challenge. So we recommend that NHS England combines existing sources of information such as screening data, referrals and GP records to develop an accurate picture of the number of people in prison who need support with their mental health and well-being. But we also make a number of recommendations to improve joint working, including that the Ministry of Justice, Her Majesty's Prison and Probation Service, NHS England and Public Health England work together to set some measurable and achievable joint objectives underpinned by good cost and performance data that helps demonstrate whether they're meeting the objectives. That they also ensure there's effective information sharing protocols between health, prison and probation staff. And finally, that they review the process for transferring people from prison to hospital to identify and address the reasons for the current level of unacceptable delays.
Thank you very much for your time today, Oliver. If you'd like to find out more about this report, the full version and an executive summary are available on our website, www.nao.org.uk. If you'd like to keep up to date with the work of the NAO, you can follow us on Twitter at NAOorguk or on Facebook, www.facebook.com/NAOorguk. Thank you for listening.